ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Vic and Sade, it's brought to you by Ivory Flakes.
Ivory Flakes. With their gentle care, your clothes will give you up to twice the wear.
Miss McDonald, you've had too much vacation. You were late this morning.
I was busy.
Doing what?
That's for me to know and you to find out. Here, I'll go through the motions and you guess.
Oh, at this hour in the morning, she wants to play games. All right, go ahead. She's gathering something onto a pole. Now she's raising it above her head. Let's see. Exercises, maybe? No, she's going over to the window. Oh, I get it. Hanging curtains.
Oh, smart, aren't you?
Curtainly.
Oh.
So that's what kept your curtains, huh?
Mm-hmm. Washed them last night, and they're pretty as a picture. Now, Ivory Flakes are wonderful for curtains.
And for lots of other things, too.
That's an understatement. Why, friends, with Ivory Flakes care, your sweaters, slips, blouses, housecoats, they'll give you up to twice the wear.
And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Those lovely things will stay lovely as much as an extra season. Oh, Ivory Flakes care pays. Goodness, don't take chances with your nice clothes. Not these days.
You certainly steer clear of frayed seams and faded colors with no trouble at all.
Well, that's because I steer clear of washing things the wrong way, using the wrong kind of soap.
Yes, friends, Margaret sticks to Ivory Flakes care. And oh, what a difference that makes. You should just see the wash tests we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Why, there were blouses and housecoats.
And slips and sweaters.
They've been washed time and again in Ivory Flakes.
And they're still beautiful.
Almost like new.
Oh, and listen, just see how nightly washing in Ivory Flakes helps that rayon stocking problem. It keeps rayons from bagging so.
And they last longer, right, Margaret?
In strain tests that were made, rayon stockings washed in Ivory Flakes lasted twice as long as stockings washed with the wrong kind of soap.
Just leave it to Ivory Flakes.
They're so mild, so gentle, so pure.
Oh, so pure.
Well, he can sing, too. But as I was about to say, friends, change to gentle Ivory Flakes care for your blouses and sweaters and rayon dresses.
You'll get up to twice the wear. And now, back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, Mrs. Victor Gook is setting the table for breakfast as we enter the kitchen of the small house halfway up in the next block now. And we find the lady bustling from pantry to gas stove, from gas stove to sink and back again. And presently, a familiar voice is heard in the living room. Listen.
Hey, Dorothy, I just looked at myself in the looking glass, and I don't think I'm as attractive as I was yesterday.
That's too bad.
Wouldn't it be terrible if I lost my charm and the girls quit turning around the street to stare at me?
Yes.
Oh, it's you, Sade. I thought it was Dory McFrish, another woman I love.
You're cheerful this morning.
I'm always cheerful.
It's a terrible, nasty, drizzly day.
Uh-huh.
Started to rain just after we went to bed last night. I bet it's one of them miserable, long, drawn-out summertime affairs where the sun refuses to shine and refuses to shine.
Oh, heck, might clear up in half an hour.
I hope so. Breakfast is on the table.
I see it and I love it.
Russell on his way down?
Last I saw him, he was skulking in the bathroom brushing his pretty little teeth.
Today's the day he and the other kids go to church and clean and decorate the Sunday school room.
Oh, yes.
They're making quite an affair out of it, almost a picnic. Boys and girls both be there. Start eating while things are hot. What's the matter?
I expect you'll hate me for bringing up such a trivial matter, but I don't see any sugar, and I have a childish passion for sugar.
I forgot to put it on. Oh, there on the stove. Just a second. Hey, I brought up your rubbers from the basement.
You are a dear, sweet, loving wife. If I didn't have oatmeal adhering to my chin, I'd offer you a kiss.
In hot summertime, it's particularly dangerous to tramp the streets with wet feet.
Yeah.
You take July, August, and September. They're the months where a person feels the most secure. Gives old Mr. Pneumonia the chance to pounce right down a person's throat.
History tells us that the poet Keats once held a dandelion beneath the chin of the poet Browning in an effort to determine whether or not he liked butter.
Your rubbers are underneath the sink. For goodness sake, don't walk off to the office without them now.
Are they in pretty good condition? I seem to remember they were about shot the last time. Whose overshoes?
Yours.
I haven't seen those old gunboats for years.
They've been in the fruit room behind a pile of peach baskets.
How come you brought them upstairs?
Russell's got to have something to wear.
He's going to wear those?
It's pouring down rain outdoors. And he has to be over at the church with the rest of the kids around 9 o'clock or so.
Don't he own any rubbers?
Not anymore. They went to pot early this spring and I threw them out.
Is it your thought to ask him to wear those great big old antiques of mine to the church and meet his witty and fashionable friend?
There's nothing else for him to wear.
I foresee a terrible, terrible storm.
Why?
Margaret won't wear those hulks.
I bet Margaret will.
There's going to be considerable tearing of teeth and gnashing of hair.
Well, that's just dandy. Nobody in my family's going to tramp around in the rain with no protection for their feet.
Dr. Speech, I advise you to get that pretty pair of overshoes out of sight until breakfast is over. Wait until the last possible moment before you put your head in the lion's mouth. If it was me, I'd crawl behind the gas stove.
Good morning, people.
I don't believe I'll need to crawl under any gas stove. Good morning, Willie Baby.
Very rotten, dismal weather we're enjoying.
Mm-hmm. Looks like one of those long, drawn-out summertime drizzles.
How are you, Gov?
You asked me that up in the bathroom, and I told you I was fine. Have you forgotten so soon?
You act like you're in good humor.
Wouldn't you be in good humor if you were handsome, wealthy, popular, talented,
and that our disestablishment tyrannistic?
Oh, my.
Yes, I sure would. Sorry, I'm a little late getting down.
What kept you?
A knot in my shoestring. Required all my ingenuity to get her unscrambled.
Well, sit down. I'll dish you out your oatmeal.
You bet. Punk day outside, Gov.
We have already discussed that matter.
Let's discuss it some more.
A man whose mind is so barren that he must clutch at the weather as a topic of conversation is a pitiful object indeed.
I find myself hungry. Rainy weather bolsters up my appetite. Also, rainy weather bolsters up my good humor.
Well, I've heard of that happening to people. Vic, remember old Miss McDratch there in Dixon?
She never even owned the socks she wore on her feet.
You're thinking of Homer Heck from Norman, Oklahoma.
Miss McDratch used to be better tempered on rainy days. Beth used to say it was because wet weather eased her rheumatism. I always thought wet weather aggravated rheumatism. But Beth read in some almanac a fella threw on the porch that a good pelting rain worked wonders with all kinds
Excuse
of sickness.
Excuse me, Mom.
Sugar's right there by Gov's elbow, Willie. Of course, any nitwit knows that's ridiculous. But Beth was obstinate. Beth claimed up and down
the
almanac had
the
correct information. What is it, Russell?
It wasn't the sugar I wish to discuss.
Right by Gov's elbow there. No, but about rheumatism and wet weather, I said... Beth, for goodness sakes. I said,
Mom, I see Gov's rubbers are sitting beside the sink.
My rubbers are sitting beside the sink. My rubbers are sitting beside the sink.
Oh, what a family.
I see your rotten old overshoes are also sitting beside the sink, Gov.
My rotten old overshoes are also sitting beside the sink.
Mom, I sincerely hope you have no plans for me in connection with those overshoes.
Heads up, everybody. Here comes the lightning and thunder.
Oh, yes, lightning and thunder.
You'll feel it in a second.
I repeat, Mom. I sincerely hope you have no plans for me in connection with those overshoes.
Oh, lands, Russell.
You threw my rubbers out in the garbage box some time back, didn't you?
Way last spring. They were all coming apart. They were apart. The material was completely rotten.
I have no other rubbers?
None that I know of.
Why'd you bring Gov's overshoes up from the cellar?
Oh, eat your breakfast.
I demand to know why you brought Gov's overshoes up from the cellar.
Eat your breakfast, Harry.
I am laying down my knife and fork.
You mean your spoon, don't you? People don't eat oatmeal with knives and forks. They put a guy in the insane asylum.
I refuse to continue eating breakfast until I know whether you have plans for me in connection with those Gov's overshoes.
Ha-ha. I suppose you would tramp all them blocks to the church with no protection for your shoes, huh? You would help clean and decorate the Sunday school room and spend all the morning there with wet feet. Pneumonia is what you'd love to have.
It's true, then.
What's true, then?
I'm to be requested to appear among my fellow members of Miss Nagel's Sunday school class wearing my father's great big old overshoes.
Eat your breakfast, sprinkling can.
Please notice I have laid down my knife and fork.
You've laid down your spoon. You haven't even got a knife and fork.
Mom, the situation is quite impossible.
Is it?
Quite impossible. Oh, I see your side of it all right. You figured like this. You figured it's raining outside. Russell will get his feet wet. But I threw away his rubbers. What can he wear? Why, he can wear Vic's old overshoes. They'll keep his feet dry. Come clean now. Didn't you figure that way?
Sure.
Eat your breakfast, safety sticker.
I haven't as yet, Gov, resumed the use of my silverware.
Maybe you better start resuming.
Mom, that was the way you figured, wasn't it?
Sure. You got no rubbers of your own, and it's raining. You have to wear something. Gov's old overshoes is all there is.
We're a short-sighted race of human beings, and no mistake.
Why?
You doped all that out about Gov's overshoes, and even went so far as to bring them up here in the kitchen.
Saved you the trouble of going down after them.
Mom, don't you see how hopeless the situation is?
No. How hopeless is it?
I wouldn't wear those overshoes as far as the alley.
Oh, I think you would.
Allow me to point out the consequences.
I'll get thrown in prison?
If I appeared in our Sunday school room up at church wearing those horrible out-of-shape clumps, I'd be the object of universal derision.
Oh, boy, hot dog.
I would be held in scorn and contempt. Laughing fingers would point, and tittered blushes would appear on trembling faces as everybody...
You're laying it on pretty thick, Helen. What are laughing fingers? What are tittered blushes? What are trembling faces?
Mom, I refuse to be the object of universal derision.
You do?
Hmm. Flatly.
What is this, the big dramatic love scene from the matinee?
Yeah.
All right then, Willie baby. I guess we wouldn't want you to be the object of any universal derision. So you go on ahead to the church without any protection for your shoes.
Oh, that will not be necessary. I have a solution to the problem.
What is it?
Right over to the church in a taxi cab.
In a taxi cab?
A taxi cab only costs a quarter. I have a quarter in my possession, and I don't need to get you or Gov for it. We don't need to consider me riding in a taxi cab an extravagance, because I'm going to the church on important business.
I never thought of us as such millionaires. We could send our little baby boys around the city in taxicabs.
It only costs a quarter. I will furnish the quarter. I'm not using a taxicab unnecessarily because I'm on important business. Also, I get away from wearing Gov's great big old overshoes and escape from being an object of universal derision. Does this settle the matter?
Oh.
Are there any questions?
Yes. What if it's still raining this noon?
If it's raining this noon, many of the parents of my various friends will be on deck with their automobiles. No trick at all to bum a ride home. Does that settle the matter? Are there any further questions?
Eat your breakfast, Scoop Shovel.
Yes, surely. Now that I have satisfactorily settled this matter, I will resume the use of my silverware. Mom, the cream.
Concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
You know, Ed, I was thinking, men certainly get set in their ways.
Men do.
Well, women too, then. It's hard for people to change familiar ways.
But sometimes the change is for the best.
I know. For instance, when a woman changes her soap...
from the wrong kind...
to Ivory Flakes.
That's always for the best. Because Ivory Flakes care means up to twice the wear.
From blouses and slips.
From sweaters and housecoats.
Ivory Flakes care keeps them bright.
Keeps them soft and becoming.
Up to twice as long.
But if you wash clothes like that the wrong way, well, you know what can happen.
You mean colors can fade in no time. Materials give way.
That's it. So friends, change to gentle Ivory Flakes care. These days you need wear.
Heavens, yes. It's hard to replace clothes you like.
Well, no soap is safer for colors, easier on fabrics than Ivory Flakes. They're ivory mild, ivory pure.
The flake form of famous Ivory soap.
Wash tests prove, with Ivory Flakes care, you'll get up to twice the wear. Again tomorrow, join in the fun with Bake and Save. Same time, same station. This is Ed Hurley.
And Margaret MacDonald.
Saying good day for Ivory Flakes.
Say, neighbor, don't let down. The war isn't over. Save used fats. Every drop counts. Save, turn in used fats.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.